What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to yet another episode of 26 Degrees. Brought to you proudly by the good folks at the Roll Up Network. I'm here again, your gracious and humble host, along with my other co-host. This is Larian, and I'm here today with my boy Meezy. Meezy, say what's up to the people.
Man, what's up, y'all boys, man? Another week, another episode, man. Bringing the fire.
The real. We bringing that real perspective. No sugarcoating on this, man. And, of course, the field general himself, the hood real reporter. The hood reporter himself.
What's good? What's good, peoples? What's good? We back.
No doubt.
Thank y'all for checking out 26 Degrees, man. We love y'all.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Continue to tap in with us. Hit us up, man. Y'all got any free time? You see we recording? Come through. It's for the people, by the people, man. We're going to continue to make sure that y'all understand with nothing without y'all. So tap in, man. Hit us up. I've seen the numbers. The numbers are growing. Don't be shy. Come in. Kick it. Air it out. That's what we want to do with you, man. We want this to definitely be a fan-led show. So don't be afraid at all. You got it on your chest. Let it off, man. Of course, you know, the info is in the 26 Degrees bio, so you can either hit us up there via voicemail or via email, and, you know, we'll share the link live. I shared it earlier. Right now, we're broadcasting live right now, so if you want to, you can always check that link out. I'll start putting that out every week. And at least give people an opportunity to sit down and, you know, let people come on in and just speak their mind, man. So I'll shoot it over to you, Meezy, man. How you been, man? It's been a week since we last recorded. So here we are, just over a week. How you been, man? How's life?
Man, I've been good, man. I can't complain, man. Waking up every day, man. So I can't complain too much. Things have been going good. A lot of stuff been going on with these Canes, man, this past week. So ears been to the streets, man, just listening, looking at things, see what's going on. But other than that, man, I've been good. Like I said, I can't complain too much, man. What about y'all boys?
X, what's good with you, man? How's family life, man? How's everybody?
Man, the family life is good, man. I'm with my kids now. They supposed to be doing their homework. One doing the homework and the other one, he messing around. You know how that goes.
taking advantage of you being tied up for the moment.
Yeah. That's what he be doing, man. Family life good, man. After Saturday, man, I kind of put everything behind me with the Canes, man, and
more to life.
Yeah, yeah,
man. We all need these Canes, man, making us look at different aspects of our life and shit.
Right?
Man, look, after I put that, then I guess what happened, I want to just take a little bit time out to speak about what's going on out there in Texas with the border with the Haitians, man.
Go ahead, brother.
Looking at that, it hurt me so bad because we're in the country in 2021. And we're still constantly seeing the mistreatment of people of color. And it's even worse to darker colors. Like, you know, it's just bad for us. And it's like, I don't see the uproar from nobody else. Like, nobody else really cares. And I said this, and people say, oh, well, someone. I say, no, it's not. That's not good enough. Because when it happens to another group, the uproar is big. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to dark color people, it's like, hey, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And like we say, man, it's more than football, man. Because you got
more
than
life, man.
So,
hey, no, that's real, bro. And I want to applaud you for even bringing that up, man. That's real rap. You're right. I haven't seen the uproar I've seen the depictions, and they are they're disturbing to say the least. You see images that are very reflective of a time that was supposed to be past. And we know historically, the darker you are, the worse you're treated. And that's not even just an American thing. That honestly is a thing across the world. So, you know, us being people of color, I mean, I'm lighter, but I'm still black at the end of the day. And I know that when it comes down to it, they'll still separate me into that corner. So I never have this type of complex where I feel like, oh, I'm good. What's going on is terrible. We're taking the time to take care of other refugees, and we've seen this time and time again when it comes to the, you know, the Haitians, they're not treated like the Cubans. That's just a fact. That's just a matter of fact. It is not to be debated. And I'm glad you brought that up because, again, yeah, I know we get on here and we're talking football, and of course we're going to keep it football. That's what we're here for. But we also have a platform, and when you have a platform, you have a responsibility to speak on things. So I'm overjoyed that you spoke on that, man. What's going on out there? Terrible. We welcome other refugees. We welcome people from Afghanistan, right? But we'll shun those who are very close to our borders who have also suffered atrocities.
That's the craziest thing to me, though, about how, like you said, you know what I'm saying, we'll accept refugees from other places, but don't accept the dark colored ones. And then not just not accepting, but the images that we've been seeing with people on the horse and the whips and everything, like, them the same, you put them side by, I seen pictures side by side, them the same pictures from 100 years ago, man. It's just same shit, different era, man.
And the crazy thing about it is, like, we, you know, the Haitians helped us become free. You know what I'm saying? They helped us become free in America. Like, you would think we would help them out a lot more, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, we ain't. They just allowing them, you know, they just had a president get assassinated. The country's going wild, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's going to be people trying to get out of that country, you know what I'm saying? No different from what happened back in the days with Cuba, you know what I'm saying? And people's trying to get out of the country. They still trying to get out, but guess what? They send one group back, and the other one, they say, hey, well, let's discuss this. Let's talk about it at least. But one group go back immediately. So you see the mistreatment going on, man. But, you know, if anything they could help, you could help, man, send money, clothes, whatever, man. It's a lot of people sitting in, I think, what they call it, like the camp, boot camps and
they
stuff.
They call them like they actually call them like detention centers, don't they?
Detention center. Yeah, I think I just seen a picture of that, like a bunch of.
And just the name, people. Why detention? Why that name? You know what I'm saying? Everything just terrible about everything going on. Everything.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I was muted. I forget. I don't hit the mute on the computer.
Yeah, I was looking at it. I ain't see the mic button. I'm like,
y'all will notice if you ever watch it. I don't really hit it on the computer. I hit it on my actual microphone. But you know, we've seen this time and time again, and it boils down to pretty privilege. Unfortunately, Europeans are the dominant force. So we aren't the standard of beauty. So what happens is, the further you are away from that standard, the worse you're going to be treated. Hence, the Haitians don't get the same treatment as the Cubans or the Afghanistan people. But, you know, we'll move on. But I'm glad you did bring that up, man. Powerful way to use this platform.
Pray for Haiti.
Yeah, and just make sure you send your money to the right people. There are literally... I know Haitian people that will send that money to their people. Careful with these Red Crosses.
Red Cross, man. Yeah.
They'll rip you off. So, but anyways, let's get into the meat and potatoes while we're here. It's 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes podcast. And unfortunately right now, everyone here is a Miami Hurricanes diehard fan. We want to quit. We want to walk away. We're going to come back. I bought the new the Ultra Boost 4D joints today. I bought them. Why? Because I'm diehard. I'm still going to put those colors on. I'm going to bitch and moan because we suck, but I'm still going to be down with this team. The only thing that's really transpired from what happened last week on Saturday was now I have a new sense of peace with the program. I just decided I can't allow this to upset me the way it did Saturday. Saturday, I was throwing my phone, punching the couch, and I'm usually super even keeled, but I couldn't hold it back no more on Saturday, man. How did Saturday go for you, Measy? Just generally speaking, how was Saturday?
I mean, Saturday was horrible. I mean, I feel like we lost that. I don't know if I felt worse when we lost to FIU. But, I mean, the way we lost that Michigan State game, what was happening at the end of the game. At one point, I did, at the end of the game, when Derek King threw that last pick six, I did laugh. It was a pick six, right?
I don't even remember. Beyond, yeah, I can't even tell you.
That last pick he threw. I started laughing.
It may have been. I'm going to be honest with you. The last 5-6 minutes,
I'd already flipped over. I think, yeah.
I had already flipped over to Florida, Alabama.
Yeah, it was a pick six. It was a pick six.
Okay. Yeah, man, I started laughing because I was like, "Is this the end?" And I was like, "This is." I was like, "Something ain't right." We already knew something wasn't right, but I was like, "Something's really, really, really not right." Like, even Manny's face on the sideline, I was like, "Manny don't even know what's going on." Like, and once a head coach face looks like that, it's over.
The season is
over,
man. Being at the stadium, the atmosphere was. I knew immediately after the first quarter it was going to be a problem. The atmosphere was dead. It was gone because we're looking at a team that second year coach over there, or a bunch of new players, and we like, man, Why are we not beating this team? Because we moving the ball up and down the field on them. We just not. Why are we not beating this team? Why we get in scoring position, but we can't score?
And that's facts. That is absolute facts. And that's why I was super upset, because I knew what was going to go down. Before the final score came down, I said, yo, we're going to lose this game.
It was like a script. You could see it.
Yeah. And it was because – here we go, we're moving the rock, and then we're moving it again, and we hit Will Mallory right in the hands, and he drops it. I say, yo, what? We're going to lose this game. And he go, oh, it's super early. I go, no, it's super early, but he's got to make that play if we are going to be a team that's even competent. It's not even about being great right now. We just want to be competent.
And you saying, "May he has to make the play." It wasn't a play to be made. Just, I mean,
just
that
make
was
a catch. Yeah, it's right. Not even a play.
It was like a, you know, that's a, like you're throwing with your dad outside the foot, throwing a football 10 yards from each other. Like, that's all it was. It wasn't nothing like.
Yeah, he didn't have to. You're
there
right,
was no
you're
words. Right. No words. No words for that. No words. None.
Yeah. You're right, because it wasn't a situation where you're looking at like, oh, stretch out, lay out. You know, take the hit. No, it was a hit you in the hands and you just can't get it done. And that let me know, oh, we're about to lose this game. That I've never been that frustrated that early in the game before in at least a decade. But I knew the writing was on the wall. I said, we're about to lose this
game. Yeah, after that play, man, I was like, yeah, it's going to be another one of them days, man. You can just see the look on a lot of players' faces, man. And then I immediately look at Derek King, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yo, hold on, time out. That's hilarious, because X definitely sounded like he called him Dairy Queen.
Yeah, he
that's got to be acknowledged.
Derek, my bad, bro.
Nah, he mean that like that, bro. We respect you as the heart and pulse of this team. That is true.
Yeah.
We respect that. We really do.
Yeah, we do.
You ever hear this?
But as I'm looking at him on the sideline, you know, if you played sports before, you know, you could kind of see a player when they say, okay, man, let me take this thing into my hands, you know what I'm saying, because everything else is not working, I immediately seen that in him, and I say, now he's finna try to force a lot of stuff. And you start seeing it. He's running the ball a lot more when players are getting a little open. He's not throwing the ball because he's saying, I'm not trusting the guys. I'm finna run it. I know what I can do. And from that moment, I was like, yeah, it's gonna be a long game. And once halftime came, I said, yeah, man, they gonna beat us, man, because it's like we don't want it. We don't want it. It's there for us to take, and we just don't want it. So
right. And
I knew it was a problem when Derek fumbled with like the first 3 minutes of the game. I don't know if y'all remember that. He got tackled and he fumbled.
Yeah. It became clear. This is what it is, right? And I'll structure this a little better for us, right? But I'll say this, and then we'll structure it so we can kind of walk through this entire process and speak on what we feel are the major issues within the program. My 725, I see you in the queue. It says device is not connected. So maybe you need to either get on your browser or download the app. We would definitely have you on, bro, or ma'am, whatever the case may be, whoever it is. But it says your devices aren't connected. So I'm not sure if you just aren't using the right technology. So either download the StreamYard app so you can use your phone, or you can use it on your laptop, either or. I just wanted to address that real quick for anyone else that may be listening in. Though the point I want to make is Michigan State is probably a pretty good team. I will give them that. I'm not knocking them. I think Mel Tucker has directed that program into the proper direction. He took a ton of transfers to bolster the roster, and he has the team playing in a nature that you just want to see based on the talent that they have. My problem comes in we could have and should have won the game. That game the score should have been flipped to Miami. It should have been about 38-17 Miami. However, we had veterans blowing the opportunities that were presented to them. And as a fan base, I'm sure we're sick and tired of it.
But yeah, it's the veterans who've been doing the same thing for the last
same thing. Years. And Manny said, we've seen them make plays, but we've also seen them blow plays. So we'll do it like this. I'll kind of stick to the script of what I did with the roll up. So we'll start with the good, man. Meezy, what if you can give me a good from the game?
That's X first.
That's X first. X, what you got? I got goods.
I got a few goods.
Some goods. Go ahead.
Romelo got in the game, man, and instantly, once the ball was thrown his way, he caught it. The one play that Rashad Smith did get, it was a bad. They threw a flag. That was a horrible call, but he got a first down. I would love to see more of that. That's another good. This a bad and good on that Gervin Hall play. Man, that play still gives me that much, but the guy broke. He broke. And James Williams came and he ran him and tackled him. They threw a flag for horse collar, but he didn't let him score. He showed the effort to not let him score. That's a good part, because normally the other two say he's gone. He's going to score a touchdown. They're going to start running and look at each other like, who did what? So that's a good. I kicked it. He made another 50-something yard field goal. That's another good.
That's where we at. That's where
right, we at. Man. Third week in a row, man. Shout out to Board Gallus, man.
That's where we at.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, go ahead.
We get in field goal range. We know we good, boy. He could boot that thing. So.
You got anything easy you want me to go?
I mean, I say the young players, man. The freshmen. You could tell them, man, a lot of them are hungry. My ex said James Williams, Romello Brinson. Romello Brinson was hopping up after his catches, you know what I'm saying? Ready to line back up, man. And you don't see that same energy from the upperclassmen. That was a good. Borgalis or special teams. Well, no, I don't want to say special teams because not a whole special team. It's a kicker, the punter. That's about it.
I got a little bit more on the positive side.
Chance Williams too. He's made a play in every game so far this year. My bad.
That's kind of, you know, goes back to what X was saying, good and bad, because that's exactly who I was about to mention. Chance Williams has shown flashes at every turn, at every opportunity he's had. However, oddly enough, his snaps have decreased every single game. I don't understand that from anyone's perspective, but that's the truth of what's happening. The other positive I would go with is Arroyo. Again, a guy that limited snaps, but looks very fluid, looks very comfortable. He looks the part. Even as a freshman, I believe he's just ready to contribute at a high level. I think he's a guy that should probably be seeing something closer to 30 to 40 snaps a game. I think if Lashley is going to be the creator that he needs to be, he needs to get him on the field more often. And the one that we all kind of overlooked, or you two overlooked, which, I mean, I get it. It was kind of simple. Rambo, he balled out with every opportunity he was given. 12 for 156, 2 touchdowns. The bad was that 10 of those catches were in the first half.
Finna say, most of that came in the first half. So what we – but – what the Michigan State did do, they adjusted to Rambo, which they told everybody.
They did adjust somewhat. Absolutely, I agree.
We didn't have nobody else. Rambo. We didn't have anybody else that we
now, could now, State with. The one thing I said when we play teams, when I said even when we play Bama, I say, man, no team is going to – every team is going to play us man-on-man because they're going to say, well, you don't have no players who could beat us one-on-one. When Michigan State realized, okay, well, Rambo is going to catch the ball, we need to focus on him. So we double him, adjust to him. You don't got nobody else now. And it showed.
And that goes back to coaching, right? There's opportunities there. That goes back to me saying, hey, let's put more sets out there with Arroyo and Mallory, right. Let's do some of those things. To throw them off balance a little more. We didn't do that. And, of course, my other positive would be, you know, sadly, we got to go back to the kicking game. Lou Headley, you know, top three in the country. He gives us a chance every game just for the fact that he allows us to play field position football. And it's underrated until you suck at it. And, unfortunately, us UM fans know what it's like to be absolutely god-awful at it. So we got to give them the praise, because it doesn't seem important until you're absolutely terrible at it.
I got a real question. Do y'all think he's top three player on the team?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, I'm
why not?
Yeah.
Why not? What's the argument against it?
Yeah, I mean, I know. Who else can argue that?
Who would you put above him?
He may be the top.
Right.
give me the two above him. That's a good question.
Borgalis might be two. Shoot. Right,
he missed the 29-yarder.
Yeah, so he did it.
That bumps him because that's easy money for a specialist.
Yeah.
So I can't allow him to be.
But you know what? He was on – I think they was on the west side when he was kicking that – and the sun was coming at that
coming
age.
At him.
So, yeah. I mean, still
he's
not.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
Still not, you know. But
yeah, you definitely got an argument for him. If he's not the best, he's top three. That ain't great. You know, that's not what you want. All right, so we got that good out the way. Let's take a minute to get into the bad. There's a lot of bad we can get into.
Let me start off with the bad. I want to get it off my chest first.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
The Gervin Hall play, man, that was probably one of the worst plays I've ever seen in my life. a kid make. I ain't even gonna call him the kid. He's a grown man. He's been there, what, 4 or 5 years. He's a grown man. People trying to make an excuse about, oh, he was taking a different angle. Look, you play football. It don't take much to stop when you see a player running. And even if he cut back, you do not keep running and hit somebody else.
That's not a football play, what he did.
It's not. And then Amari Carter, he missed the tackle on that same play. People saying, well, he wasn't expecting to make the tackle because he thought, what? I mean, whatever happened to game tackling? Like, we missed 30 tackles that game. It's documented 30 tackles. I think somebody said it was four. It went to 34. So 34, 30 tackles.
130th out of 130th in tackling. That's what we are.
Yeah, according to PFF, that's exactly what I was about
to say. Crazy.
That's bad, man.
We are the we
not getting. I think we had like seven tackles for loss.
And L, I believe the person who the team that's 129, we got them by 20 tackles still.
Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely unacceptable. T-Rob,
it's crazy.
T-Rob said the problem is that we're going for the big hits.
Yeah, they're going for the big hit. Yeah. I mean, but look at the players who are missing the tackles. When you look at Hall, Carter, they're big hitters. They're big hitters. You know what I'm saying? They want to get a big hit off of them and make the crowd go, whoa. And that's what's happening. Guess what?
I think it's go ahead.
These guys ain't in high school no more. They bouncing off them tackles.
Right.
I think the big hit thing is part of the problem, but I think it's even more than that. Like, even when we're not trying to make a big hit, we're not wrapping up. We getting drug. We're, man, it's
well, almost that's like all symptoms. That's all symptoms of going for the big hit, though. Yeah. Because if you just do great form tackling, you're not going to get all these slip tackles. You're just going for the tackle. These guys are going for the highlight. These guys are going for the crowd shifting, momentum shifting. Oh, ooh, like X said, the boom, right? But it's not available. Those hits are maybe two a game.
They're doing that because the way they tackle that damn tire at practice. They're not even breaking down. They just launch themselves at the tire that rolls in practice. They don't break down, and that's what they're doing in the game, launching themselves.
Yeah, and then that hit that they, like you said, LeRon, that they're going for, it's almost an illegal hit now in college football. So what are you trying to do? You know what I'm saying?
Right. What's it worth?
Make the tackle.
And you know the opportunity to get a big hit. You guys, if y'all play video game football, you know how dangerous that is in a video game. And they're showing you the reality. I mean, we laugh, but it's true. If you miss that big hit, the big play that comes on the other side of that, what's it worth? So what you really need to do is just worry about wrapping people up and bringing them to the ground. But again, that goes back to the culture of what we're coaching. And so, you know, T-Rob can say that, but T-Rob, you got to get that out of them. You've got to get that out of their system to where they're just making sound tackles. Big hits, like I said, you may have 2 to 3 great opportunities for a big hit in the game. For the most part, you need to just focus on getting the guy to the ground.
I know for the most part, being at practice, I know it now. I can speak for the DBs. The DBs, they do wrap-ups. They do a lot of wrapping up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very surprised that a lot of them missing tackles. They do the wrap-up.
That's what I'm asking. Is that due to them trying to do a big hit, or is it something else? Because sometimes they are wrapping up, but I see sometimes where they wrap up and another one of our players almost like knocks them off the tackle. Like the whole tackling thing is a problem.
That's kind of, I ain't gonna say it's a lost entity in football. Like you really don't see a lot of teams working on gang tackling anymore. I mean, obviously they don't like their players getting hurt and stuff like that, but that right there is a fundamental that should be taught. The first week you get your pads, you know what I'm saying? Let's practice on game tackling, get it out the way so we still remember how it goes. But I don't know, man. T-Rod said something like the player is not soft. I don't totally disagree, and I kind of agree with it, because some of them are just, some of them don't want that. That, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're soft. I think they're undisciplined, right? Which brings me to our other issue that's been plaguing this program for the last 10, 15 years, penalties.
Oh, my gosh.
Is a very undisciplined team. So what happens is you got guys that are going for these big hits, right? When it's not there, you know what that is? Lack of discipline. Discipline says, hey, I can't probably knock this dude on his butt and get a turnover. So what I need to do is just soundly wrap him up, drag him to the ground, and live to fight the next play. But instead, these guys are trying to play for themselves, play for their Instagram highlights, and get that big hit, right? Last game, we had 10 penalties for 84 yards. I don't have the research on what we average per game, but I'm pretty certain it's 10 penalties a game.
And we got lucky with only 84 yards, because usually 10 penalties, that's going for almost like 110.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So,
but it's a stupid little five-yard penalty that killing drives, though.
Absolutely. That, yeah, and the drops, right?
You're right.
It's
right.
That and the drops. Those both things go hand in hand. We're constantly killing drives. These older guys that Manny defended by saying they make plays, we've seen them make plays, sure, but we've also seen them miss plays in the moment. When the time for them to make a play that's right there for them, they miss it.
Man, look, that interview the other day where Manny said that, man, I kind of wanted to run. I just wanted to run away. I was like, what?
But hold on, man. This is why I said what I said a week ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. You remember when I asked you all during the show, we were talking about coach talk and everything, and I said, do you think Manny is telling these boys in the locker room, oh, we're okay? Like, I think Manny's telling these boys the same thing he's telling people in the press conference. Like, they made plays before. Oh, we're fine, this and that. I mean, it's to the point now. I honestly believe he's telling these boys the same thing. That's why we keep seeing the same thing.
I don't think he's telling them the same thing. I think he's saying two different things, because he's telling kids that you're going to get the opportunity to play. They're not getting to play. He's letting the older guys know, we trust you, we believe in you. You know what I'm saying? Like he said in the conference, we've seen them make plays before. Like, when he said that, I was like, what?
Right. And I get that, but that makes sense. But we've also seen them blow plays. We haven't even given the young players a chance to screw up plays, right? So I'm glad you brought that up.
I don't know if I get that at all. Like,
I get it. Because we've seen Harley make plays, right? But we've seen Harley drop the ball.
Yeah,
we're doing this again. Same thing with Mallory. We've seen them make plays. We've also seen them drop the ball. Have we seen the young guys drop the ball? We haven't seen them. When these young guys,
we haven't seen them in the opportunity as much as we've seen the older guys.
Right, exactly.
They say the good outweigh the bad and stuff like that. I mean, 4 years in college, man, if you still doing the same thing you was doing as freshman, I think it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Because we're not going to win the future with Will Mallory. We're not going to win the future with John Ford. Not saying these guys are awful, but they aren't the future. So I'm glad you brought that up, because
Ford, man, Ford and Miller got what, 5-6 tackles together?
I believe. Right, exactly, right?
Man, what is
that? They aren't playing awful, right? But they aren't playing to a level where you can turn to Leonard Taylor and tell him, I can't get you a snap. They aren't. Yeah, they are not playing
I don't see that at all. I feel like, man, if you're not, you got to be helping us. If you're not helping us, you're hurting us if you're out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be doing something.
And then you look at who was at that game, right? We had Shamar Stewart. We had Anthony Lucas.
You had Najee Lee Kelly.
Right. Okay, great. Perfect example. I'm glad I forgot about Najee Lee. Three defensive linemen, right? And they're going, well, man, these guys up front don't look that dominant. Why aren't they playing some of the younger guys? Why through three games has Leonard Taylor not played one?
Oh my God, that is the craziest. I have no words for that. That's just it's unacceptable.
Well, okay, I'm gonna explain it from what I've seen, and then I'm gonna explain it from what Coach Jess explained. Coach Jess basically explained and the way that they want to run their defense is it's not a one-on-one thing. Leonard Taylor does a lot of one-on-one things, which is why he's not getting into the depth chart because he does a lot of one-on-one things instead of doing what they want the team to do. Now you can understand that, but at the same time, if he's that good of a player where he's going to win his one-on-ones,
I was just gonna bring that up. On the D-line right now, and the D-line is basically average for us. What do you mean do it as a team? Like, he's talking about holding blocks.
At one point they want him to hold up blocks and so the linebackers can run free.
Ness to do that. He don't need, I mean, whatever.
No, say what you're saying.
I mean, let Ness to do that. Like, ain't there's no way we brought Leonard Taylor in to hold up no darn blocks for some linebackers. I know that's right. The way Manny runs his defense, but I know that's not what they told him too.
I don't.
They said he's going to get upfield.
I don't think that's Manny. I disagree with you there.
That's how the defense.
What do you mean, L? Because I feel like
I think what he likes is an attacking defensive line. When our line was the best, right? Think about it: Gerald Willis, right? Norton, right? Who's a light skinned kid? Played with the Giants.
So I know, and then
RJ McIntosh.
McIntosh, right. Those are attacking defensive tackles that push the pocket, that disrupted everything. So I get where you're saying, yeah, we got a situation where we need them to do that, and that's fine. But I guarantee you there's also situations where we need our D tackle to destroy the pocket, get guards in the quarterback's lap, right, and disrupt the play, and he's not getting that opportunity. He's not at one
think,
shot.
I think the reason why they're doing that is because of our linebacker play. Remember when the defense was good, when they was allowing them D-line to do that, we had good linebackers who, just in case a running back slips up, you know, the linebackers ain't going to let them get too far. Now, I mean, I think they saying, man, we gotta kind of help this linebacker group, boy, because they not doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? So let's not get up the field every play, because we get up the field and our linebackers get blocked. You know, that's a touchdown or something like that, you know. So I see what they're trying to do, but at the same time, if Leonard Taylor is going to beat you one-on-one every time, I want him on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Not getting on the field one snap, that sounds personal.
10. I don't think that.
You don't think it's personal at all?
Nope. I think they're just mismanaging this roster. I think what they're doing right now is going to cause a guy like, you know, this buzz. It's buzz of Leonard Taylor transferring. Yeah. It's buzz of Breshad Smith transferring. You know, you got to remember, these kids nowadays, they don't got to wait a year.
They got to wait. They going to have to sit out. They leave. That was for last year. That was that COVID thing where they were
remember the transfer portal lets them go.
Yeah, they can transfer if they want to, but I'm saying they have to still sit once they transfer. They can't play immediately.
I thought
they did that for COVID. Transfer, coaches leave and stuff like that. This year is they not let you got to go back into to the in front of people and explain why you're transferring now.
Oh, so they still got to sit?
Yeah, they gonna have to sit.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I thought that changed. I thought that was changed forever with the transfer portal. So
not forever. Okay, it was just for that year. They was letting them do it for this year. I think it was supposed to be 2 years thing. So it was last year and then the previous year.
Okay, but either way,
it would be last year and this year. Last year was a COVID year. If you did two years, okay. Well,
It might be last year.
Oh yeah, they may go. Well, let me get out now. You know, this ship going down.
But even remember, Florida just had
Andrew Chatfield,
running back. No, the running back Bowman.
He's eligible.
He had to go sit in front of the people before he got to play.
Yeah, but that's kind of easy money now, right?
You know what I'm saying? So
you say they was racist, or you say
mental
health. Like
yeah, he said his granddad died in Lakeland. He needed to be closer to his family or something like that.
Right. And he's the top talent, so they let him do that.
Right.
But nonetheless, even if he had to wait a year, the thing is you got to justify to these kids why they aren't playing. And right now, I don't think you could justify to Leonard Taylor why he can't get a snap. You can't. It's just not. He'll play this week, but I mean, that's a little late.
You know. I honestly, and this is what I believe in my heart. I honestly believe they was waiting for a game like this to get Leonard Taylor and the rest of the guys in, so they could trust them in throughout the rest of the season. We started off the bat with the number one team in the nation.
Right.
It was rare. It's rare that a true freshman is going to get in that game.
I'm no problem.
James and them got in because Bubba got hurt. I mean, Bubba got ejected.
Yep.
The other safety, Balaam, he's out for the season.
Right.
But we slim at safety now. So, yeah, we got to play the true freshmen. You know
Avante suspended.
Avante not there. Yep. So, they had to play. The second game is no excuse.
I was going to mention that. Too.
Everybody should have a shot. Let them destroy something. Let them bust a pocket up. I just don't think this kid's a five-star talent, right? There's only probably two schools he probably wouldn't have got any snaps so far with. Alabama and
Clemson.
I was about to say maybe the only other school. Maybe Ohio State. Maybe. But we're not them. And so we can't sit here and sit a kid like that. And when you're a guy like Rashard Smith sitting on the sideline and you see Mike Harley go out there, have two crucial drops, and you can't get in, you go, well, why? He's dropping everything.
Right.
You know, poor roster management.
Okay, son, you're going to go play these next two plays. These are the two plays. This is what we're going to do. Why not even just do that, though?
Not at all.
Come on, man. That's crazy.
These kids got egos. You're talking about the number one defensive lineman in the country, depending on what you're looking at, right? He committed to you. And you're telling him
from the crib.
And he can't play?
Yeah.
He can't play once now.
I know he was pissed when Brashad got in before him. That was crazy.
Everyone has.
Yeah.
He's the only one who hasn't.
That's what I'm saying.
He's pissed. He pissed because he knows he's better than every defensive tackle we have on the team. He knows this.
That's what I'm saying. He's sure it's not personal at all.
No, it's not personal. You got to remember, this is Coach Jess' first year there. You know what I'm saying? Coach Jess did recruit him. You know, No, this is Coach Jess first year back. Remember, Stroud was a defensive line coach last year.
Well, no, I'm saying, but this is second. Yeah,
I know what he was trying to say.
Look at the players who's playing in front of him. Coach Jess recruited them.
Okay, I got you.
You see where I'm going? You're going to play a player that you're more familiar with than, I don't really know. I mean, so that's not personal. It's just, it is what it is. But like I say, man, I think he's going to – from this game point, he's going to get in a lot more throughout the season. Just got to get him in there, and they're going to work him in. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. So, and he's not the only one. It's going to be other ones like what's the tight end? Arroyo. He's definitely going to have a lot more snaps. I can see them going back to 12 personnel a lot more. And obviously, you see the running back situation because we're thin there. We still wait for Knighton to come back. He'll be back next weekend. So Cody, and Thad going to probably get some PT tomorrow. I mean, this week.
Well, tomorrow about time this drop. But all right. Well, let me go another one of my bads. Unfortunately, we still got to keep going on the bad because right now it's a bad team.
It's a bad football team.
We are not less talented than Michigan State. they're just a better team than us. So here we are. My other bad I came up with was the O-line is shit. It was supposed to be good. And it's shit. It is shit.
It's the horrible, right side, man.
Navon, love brother. So much love for him and his family. He's still fat.
Right?
It's not today's football. He's still overweight.
He can't move.
He can't move like he needs to, right? The right tackle's been a revolving door of what the fuck, right? You had Jared Williams, started last year. Now he's fighting for a spot. He gets in, he gets beat, looks like shit. Zion Nelson, Ty McShay must have gotten into your ear. And now you are a top five pick, and you got beat like a drum way too many times, right? And then our best lineman probably was Jalen Rivers, now done for the season. Corey Gaynor is trash.
Now we playing Jakai Clark Saturday, and we was going to redshirt him. That's where we're at right now.
He still can, because remember, you can play four.
Right.
So he still might. But, yeah, the O-line is trash. That's the truth of it. And it was supposed to be a strength. And it is.
The O-line has gotten worse.
Worse. The offense has gotten worse.
The offense has gotten worse.
But it all starts with the O-line. You're right. So the offense has regressed, right? We went from about 36 last year to like 18 this year. Literally, instead of taking a step forward, we literally cut our points in half.
I don't understand what this offseason, what happened. Like, I'm watching the team, the whole team. Like, what happened? Like,
now what happened is you got teams who have a full year to watch and see what Leslie's going to do on offense, so that they study and they practicing. Oh, okay, we know this is some of the tendencies they going to do.
No, I get that, but we even I get that. You're right about that, but like even what L was saying with the offensive line, like they don't look. It's not even nothing the other team is doing. They just don't. Nothing looks right. Something looks broke. Like what happened?
I mean, what I'm trying to say. Besides the first two games, I think Zion did a real good job. Zion did a real good Alabama game.
He didn't allow a sack, I think.
He did good. He did good App State game. This game, he just got beat twice, I seen. And bad. That one time he got beat bad. I think that's when King – was that one with King fumbled?
I think so. I believe so.
Yeah, so – but, yeah, the O-line, I don't know.
Yeah, right. It's not even the thing the other team is doing. Nothing looks right. The penalties, the false starts, like everything looks stupid.
The lack of push, right? We still can't run block, and now we're not pass blocking, right? And now De'Eriq King has become more gun shy. You know, he's coming off an injury, so De'Eriq has a little bit more of a tendency to duck and run.
We got to talk about him too later.
I mean, no, talk about it now. This all ties in. Talk about it.
King's not seeing the field. There's no way he's not seeing.
He can't see the field, man. He's 5'10".
Right. Oh, my. All right. Do you know, I knew De'Eriq King was short, but let me tell you, I'm watching the game Saturday. I forgot what quarter it is. The way the camera was, it was like on the field. They showed the offensive line, man. They showed King behind the offensive line, and I kind of squinted. And I was like, how short is this dude? Because, like, the way he was looking behind the line, I was like, I know he can't see. And you can tell the way he throws, he can't see.
Man,
he's not throwing in the middle of the field. That means you can't see.
Listen what I'm going to say. It's one play, man, where Strupple was in the game, and where Strupple hit a seam straight up the middle of the field. He's wide open. And King can't see him. He has to throw the ball to somebody else because he couldn't see. And I was like, we all laughing in the press box because we were like, he's wide open. And the ball didn't even go his way. I just tweeted something earlier. I say, man, this week you're going to see the ball move a lot more vertically because now you have quarterbacks who can stand in the pocket and see. And they're better natural passers anyway. So, I'm not going to get on King. You know, King is King. You know?
No, we got to get on King, though. I mean.
No. I'm finna get on Garcia and TVD, man. We're going to talk about what we finna see because King not playing this week. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We know what King is. We know what King was last year. We know what it was this year. So it's like, it is what it is.
Would you play him again?
I mean, it depends. It depends. I mean, it depends on if one of these quarterbacks come in and look like they belong. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like King has regressed.
I think he has. I can agree with that. I think, you know, it's always tough coming off an injury, right?
Yeah.
And you come off an injury where a big part of his game is his legs. So he's trying to get back into trust in his legs, which he looked pretty comfortable with, right? But then now, the shoulder's banged up. And his O-line isn't giving him great protection. So now, yeah, you're right. I think he has regressed because he's just not in an ideal situation. The O-line was supposed to be better. It's worse, right? He was supposed to be better, you know, because he healed up. But then he got banged up the shoulder. So now he's not who he's supposed to be. Is De'Eriq King all heart? Absolutely. Is he a rah-rah guy that you want around the team, even though he's more quiet? He leads with a quiet type of style. Yeah.
He leads by example.
And you can live with that. Is he the future of the program? Absolutely not. So, me personally, man, I got to worry. If I'm Manny, I got to worry about my job. And if I truly feel, and this may be his ignorance, if I truly feel like Garcia or Van Dyke really gives me the best chance to go out here and clean up the rest of this schedule, because the schedule's still weak, right? Then that's what I do. I don't think he does that. Because we still roll out McLeod, right? McLeod had one tackle last week. McLeod had one tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, he got one tackle for the season, right? He got one tackle for the season.
McLeod hasn't done anything. Last week. He hasn't done anything.
But he's there every week, right? But we put Chance flashes, and his snaps go down every week.
The one thing, like you said earlier, with King is he leads by example. You know what I'm saying? You see every game, even if when we was getting blown out by North Carolina, we was getting beat by Clemson last year, Alabama this year, King is giving it his all. He's leaving everything out there on the field. So he's leading by example. I would say, as a coach, it's hard to bench that type of player.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're like, man, that's everything I want in the player, man. Just give me your all on the field, and that's exactly what he's doing.
The problem is when your all ain't enough.
Yeah. The one thing about it is I tell people, I say, man, Derek King worked his way back so fast. Well, he probably burnt out by now.
Could be.
I didn't think of that.
He probably burnt out, man, because he came back super fast. Nobody thought he'll be playing. Even the third game of the season, we like, well, maybe fourth, fifth. Not the third game. The first, second, third, man. So it could be something like that, man, but
I love that heart. Like y'all saying, I love the heart he has, but Saturday there was a point where the heart he had, he shouldn't have came back in that game because it was obvious he had no business being back out
there. Man, look, I thought he was done when I seen him going to the locker room. And then I turned and heard somebody say something. We talked for like a split second. And then when I turned back around, I seen him running on the field. And I was like, what? Hello. Like,
yeah, Derek was crippled playing that game. And I was killing us. That you could see the way he was throwing the ball. I'm like, take the man out. Like, we're not about to come back and win this game with him. The pick six. That was all his arm, like, just I wish he took himself out the game.
Yeah, I'm ready.
He would never do that.
I mean, come on, man.
Nah, he'll never do that. I know.
Who's going to take yourself out the game? Who's going to take yourself out the game?
That's what I'm about to say. Thank you, L. X, I understand what you're saying, but the way King was playing in that second half after he got hurt, it's obvious – he couldn't hardly even throw the ball. Like, he has to know he's hurting the team.
Yeah, he hurt. But
he's hurting the team at that point.
Look at it like this, man. You did all this offseason stuff about you getting all these little NIL deals and all this. Da, 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 da. okay, man, if I take myself out the game and somebody and one of these young guys come in and play better than me, I might not get another chance. I'm like, now what?
At least he got his money. At least he got his money.
Such is life, right? I'm about to say, right. He got NIL deals and all that. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it is what it is, man. Like, we love his heart, man. We love his dedication to the team because he really loves the program. I'm just ready to see one of these young guys go out there, man, and show what we've been lacking in that position.
Right. And it's not a bash King thing, people, for y'all listening. I love me some Derrick King. It's not a bash King. But changes got to be made somewhere. We just trying to figure out, you know.
Need a spot, man.
Right.
Let King rest for a couple of weeks, man. And, you know, if we still having problems at that position, you know, obviously it's your job regardless. You know what I'm saying? So,
speaking of, I'm glad we're kind of wrapped here, man. Speaking of change, the administration. That's the biggest buzz right now. Right? What I came to understand this week after that loss was what people have been telling me for a while. It took me a while for it to sink in. What I understood was Miami doesn't care about being great at football. They just don't. And until they give a damn about that, we will continue to muddle in mediocrity. That's what we will continue to be as a program. So, there's buzz out there, meetings supposedly being held, board of trustees getting together. However, until you show me, you know, like I tell people, I'm from Missouri, bro.
Show me state.
Yeah, everything you talk about right now, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we talking to Mario, yada, yada, yada. Oh, they, you know, he's on the hot seat. Sure, you're right. I don't believe it until I see it. This administration, we suck at everything sports, right? Blake James is the AD. What are we good at in sports? Nothing. Right? So that tells me.
And that's a big thing, L.
That's huge. They got to give a damn.
It's been getting worse under him, every sport almost.
Every sport.
Right.
There's not a sport we're good at. We ain't good at shit. Water polo, badminton, ping pong.
I mean, look what he said about Coach L. Larenga. What was that, last year? Everybody knew Larenga should have been out of there. And what did Blake James? Oh, I have
still hanging in.
I have faith in Larenga. I was like, what? Shitty. And I'm not even a.
I don't give a shit about Kane's basketball. I ain't
right, but I knew he had to go. And then Blake was like, oh, I still believe in him. I was like, God damn, man, he's going to be here for 100 years.
Ain't done shit.
Right.
Ain't done shit.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. X, I think you were speaking a little bit earlier about a meeting.
Yeah. It's
the board of trustees. Give us about that.
The board of trustees. They had a meeting today. The one positive I would say is that all the rambling and the chat that's going around is that they're listening. They're listening. Usually they just be like, man, we'll talk about this at the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? But nah, they're like, nah, we got to have us a meeting. Nah, man, because now what you're having is now you're having predominantly special top player, former players speaking. And they saying it ain't just regular former players. It's like you getting top former players, like who got big names out here. They're speaking up on it. It's not a good look.
And ESPN, different college football outlets. It's too loud. It's too much noise.
It's way too much noise. So, yeah. What I can say is basically a change is going to be made. It's going to either be Blake James going to get fired, or they're going to hire a football-only operational guy to oversee football. I don't even know. Is that – Does it happen at any other school? I don't even know if that's possible.
I mean, it's possible because basically he would be what that person will be doing, what Ed Reed's supposed to be doing, basically.
Oh, no, man. Look, what Ed Reed to you,
oh, you mean,
Ed Reed is a mentor to the players. Like,
no, I know that, but I mean that title. I think Ed Reed might maybe give up that title, and whoever comes in would be chief of staff, or would have a director of football operations.
They'll keep that chief of staff for Ed Reed because they need somebody to mentor the kids.
So they would have a director of football operations, basically.
Yeah, but like I just said, like it ain't just football; it's the whole sports. So why would you just only do it for football when you could just get somebody for all the sports? I think they just need to wash their hands with him. That's me being the personal. Wash your hands with Blake James and go another route because you constantly made bad hires. You don't care. You're not kind of thinking about the hire. You just let me go ahead. Mario was in the bag. that was a done deal. All he had to do was sign names on papers and we would have Mario.
Panic hired the other guy. I've heard that as well, though.
No way they thought Manny was the better hire. It can't be.
I love Mark Rick, man. I love what Mark Rick came back and did, helped us get back to somewhat of it, man. But between Mark Rick and Blake James, man, they made the wrong hire. Like,
I think a lot of these athletic directors won't hire certain coaches because they necessarily don't want to be bothered. Like the FSU's AD with Jimbo, basically Jimbo was just kept asking for stuff. I don't think ADs necessarily like that kind of pressure. And they might go to a person who might not bother them. He probably won't even hardly have to talk to Manny Diaz.
Diaz ain't going to ask for nothing.
He's not going to be Diaz. Whatever y'all going to give me, I'm going to take. I also heard Blake James came from Brown. He was an AD or something at Brown.
Nah, I think it's somewhere. I think it's something like Maine, somewhere at Maine.
And I heard they don't have the place he came from don't have a football team. So he don't have any clue about. And it's not just Blake James. So what I was hearing this week with Blake James and the president was basically like, whatever. I don't even know if the president.
The president, President Frank comes from, I think he comes from either Harvard or Yale, one of them.
But he went to Michigan for grad school, too.
Who cares about football at them schools?
Right. He probably doesn't even know Miami's record. Guy.
So the thing that Barry Jackson wrote talking about, Blake James, is on you. It probably was true because he like, I don't care. UM is a financial institute that's going to be good regardless. But yeah, man, something happening. We got to see it first to happen, but something is definitely going to happen. I don't know the timetable. I don't know which one it's going to be, but something is happening. A lot of the former players, they're pissed. They really getting in them people's chests. There's some big names that's getting in their chest. And when names like that get in your chest, you like, but you can't not listen or respond. So,
man, as long as them checks keep clearing and motherfuckers ain't doing shit, I ain't believing nothing to Blake James fired. That's what has to happen.
There's no way you let him hire the next football coach. But you might
as well keep Manny. You might as well just keep Manny.
Right. There's no way.
You know, other people said that before, and we looked at them crazy.
That's another thing. If they do fire Blake James, the new AD immediately does not keep Manny Diaz. That ain't gonna make no sense. So
I'm good with
that. It's parts where sometimes they're going out and try to make it make sense. The new AD will come in and say, Manny Diaz, this is it for you. You know what I'm saying? Immediately.
Yeah, and that's fine. We got to clean it up.
But let me ask you.
I root for Manny like nobody else. I promise you I did.
Me too.
For Manny.
When he got the head coach out, I was like, man, we just don't care.
We don't care. You're right. And like, I heard people say that, and I thought y'all was tripping. I'm here as a man to admit I was 100% wrong. I was totally wrong. You guys were 100% right. They didn't give a shit. It was lazy. It was not doing your due diligence. It was cheap.
It was crazy. That's what it was. It was a whole. You paid Temple $4 million to release him from his contract. You could have put that $4 million to somebody else. That's what threw me off. You paid Temple. You paid a dude who's never been a head coach, who's never played football before. You paid him to bring him back.
Even if we didn't get, like, even if we did land Mario, I still knew it was better coaches out there for us to get. Like, Manny Diaz was, like, not at the top of nobody's list to get. You know what I'm saying?
So L, I was kind of like you, though, L. I wanted to believe, too, but I think a lot of us wanted to believe just because we hope. Because
it's reality.
Yeah, we hoped. We were hoping.
Yeah, it's what it is. Like, so you might as well hope that it works that way. You know what I mean? What choice do we got? They hiring them. Fuck it. And our defense was good. So we like, all right, cool. I get what they're doing. But when I heard people say it was a lazy hire, I ignored them. They were 100% right. You, Larian speaks here and now. I apologize, brethren. You all were so right. It was lazy. It was sorry. And that's where we are, where we are right now.
Another lazy hire that costing us more another, multiple years.
Another five, maybe more. If we don't years, get a guy like Mario Cristobal, like Lane Kiffin, like who else? Who else y'all kind of got on y'all?
I keep saying the name. I want Mark Stoops. I would love to have Mark Stoops.
I like Stoops.
Mark Stoops wanted the job a while ago. You talking about Mark Stoops at Kentucky, right?
Yeah. I would love.
He wanted the job a while ago. He tried to interview a while ago. Like the time we fired Al Golden, I think it was.
Yeah. I would love to get Mark Stoops. The Lane Kiffin thing, I think that's a pipe dream. University ain't hiring Lane. Lane is bad for the university.
Yeah, because they want to be too pristine.
Yeah.
I think a lot of schools wouldn't hire Lane Kiffin, though. Lane Kiffin brings extra.
I think it's us who wants to be, you know, the Harvard of the Southeast. We want to have that prestige. They don't care about football. Football served its purpose, right? Football erected a bunch of new buildings. Football increased enrollment, right? Football is done. They don't care.
Their name is dead now.
Yeah, it's like
they already University of Miami. You know what I'm saying?
And we as fans, unfortunately, we still care. We still spend money, still buy tickets, we still turn the TV on, we buy sneakers, t-shirts, jerseys, banners, all that. So Blake James has kept his job because he's still profitable. That's why. Period.
That's the reason why he's still gonna have his job, because he still brings money to the school.
That's it.
And like I told somebody earlier today when I went on live, I like, man, you don't fire a guy who's still bringing you money. Like, what? Fire him when he just made us.
We're making money. They don't care about being elite. It's business. Because us as fans, unfortunately, I just bought the brand new, the Ultra Boost that just dropped, the 4D Ultra Boost today. And I felt like a damn fool. Because I said, bro, why are you spending any money with these people, man? Why? Because I'm diehard. I felt like a moron. Because I'm part of the problem. We need to empty the stadium. We need to not pick anything up off the shelf until they dedicate themselves to us.
The stadium comment was funny, though. I heard if nobody even goes to the games, they still getting their money off a TV contract.
Well, the ticket sales for this year is already done. You know, especially
right.
This
so they getting they if care. Nobody. And I heard also too, Miami. You know, they're having a problem with attendance in the lower bowl. A lot of those seats for the Michigan State game was $250. Why are these seats that expensive to go watch a Miami game for Michigan State, and we're not a good football team?
Well, for one, you know, we play in the NFL stadium, so tickets ain't going to be the same.
So that's another thing. That's another reason why, you know, we still don't got our own stadium.
I mean, that's here nor there. If we were good, we'd pay and you wouldn't care. That's the truth of the matter. Yeah. He ain't good. Nobody give a shit about none of that. And you just, you're not gonna waste your time and or money. I don't got time to be worrying about these people no more. I'm gonna watch the games because it's my job at this point, but that means I might watch it Sunday morning before the NFL games because now I'm going to the zoo instead of watching football. But anybody that knows me knows you got to schedule around Miami football. That's me.
Right.
Hey, don't even holler at me. Now? Yeah, what you talking about? Oh, a weenie roast? Cool, I'll be there, bro.
And Larry, there's a Miami lot tomorrow. Of people thinking like that, which is another reason something has to be done. They're losing a lot of people who give money to the program, who spend their money with the program. They're losing a lot of that now because it's ridiculous.
I'm 41.
Like, people's livelihoods are getting affected by these damn Canes.
I've been down probably 30, 31 years, man. Majority of my life, more than I've been alive. You know what I mean? Or three quarters, I'm sorry, of the time I've been alive, I've been a Canes fan.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Unfortunately, man, I'm going to just keep it 100, which, you know, like you said, man, they football has served its purpose at Miami.
I agree. I'm going to still cheer. But I don't expect anything no more. I'll be honest.
Yeah. That's what true. It sounds like Frank and them and James were saying what they silenced through all this. Like, football served its purpose a long time ago, but y'all are just now realizing that.
Well, the one thing too is, you know, they do have some prominent donors who gives. Well, they don't call them donors. They call them gifts. Yeah. They call them gifts. That gives money to the school, and it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. These people don't care about football, but they're giving a lot of money. So we don't want to give money to this school, and y'all image is what?
Right, they don't want
to. Y'all got a bunch of thugs out there we giving money to? This ain't, you know what I'm saying? So I see what they're doing, you know what I'm saying? I don't like it, obviously, because, yeah, the thugs is what created that brand, that UM brand, that you. Don't nobody walk around the world, walk around, talk about the you. Oh, yeah, you. Because business.
medical school, marine biology.
Everybody know Miami medical school, but they don't care. They like, we know the you from what?
The brand is big for football, period. And their arrogance is we got everything we want. So, but again, I promise you, if we pull out as a fan base, it will affect the bottom line, period. Because enrollment will go down. Enrollment goes up when football programs are good. I want to go to Miami because Miami was good at football. I didn't know what the fuck they taught at Miami. I didn't give a shit. I didn't care. I want to say I went to the U. Why did I want to go to the U? Because they were great at football. Period. Didn't matter about nothing else. And I ain't alone.
You're definitely not alone. Everybody wanted to. It's crazy as it may seem. Everybody from the 80s to 90s, and who Seminoles and Gators. 9 times out of 10, them boys want. They love the U because the U was. It was something special, man. They still to this day. As good as Alabama dynasty is right now, it still have not been that type of momentum in football yet, and it probably would never be.
It's because it don't rep the culture the same. When you saw the U, I saw the homies. I saw the dudes around my block, around my way. When you see Alabama, sure, they're great at football, but they don't feel like my dogs.
Yeah.
The U represented a brand that now the University of Miami, and even back then, you know, y'all, anybody seen 30 for 30? It's always been this fight. They want to be great at football, and the coaches want to be great at football, and the administration was going, yeah, but not those guys. Don't bring that element here. You know, we can't have these bad boys. Nobody give a shit about no bad boys. Boys ran the city. They brought the city money, and it was good for everybody involved, but... Yeah.
Without them boys, man, that school, them new buildings and all that, y'all wouldn't have none of that.
And that's why a lot of those former players and people are offended. Like, it's almost like a slap in the face. Like, they're feeling used.
Yeah, they understand now.
Right. They understood this was a business.
as you grow, you know, right? Like the things I thought as a child, now I look back and go, oh, and that's what they're doing. They're going, wait a minute, they used me. They act like they was giving, giving, giving. But no, the truth was, I gave more to them than they gave to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why the alumni are offended.
Granted, it's a bunch of different administrations put in place with, from the 80s to now, but it's still, you know what I'm saying? If I'm,
it's the culture.
I'm a Kane legend. I played for the school, man. Y'all should respect me as much as y'all want me to respect y'all. You know,
right.
Especially, I gave my blood, sweat, and tears out there on that field for this. You know what I'm saying? Some of them thought it from the first national championship to, you know, like, come on, why you not let somebody who played on the first national championship team?
They like, can't go on the sidelines. They don't want them on the sidelines. Meanwhile, you know, in that same game, we watched Bama. I saw Devontae Smith, Waddle. I think Hurst was there. Derrick Henry was there.
They there, and the crazy thing, like Bane said, man, like Tobin Bane said, he said, man, you started that. Wasn't nobody doing that
before, right?
You was the only school doing it, like
right.
The only school. Everybody doing it because now what? UM was doing it. You know what I'm saying?
UM's always been the trendsetter. Always been the one that started everything that's cool. It started then. And now the school don't want to be cool. So,
yeah,
what it is. Man. Anyways, man, we're going to get on out of here, man. Appreciate y'all boys rocking out. We ain't even talk about Central Connecticut.
Community college.
Ain't nobody got time for that shit.
Ain't nothing to talk about, man.
That's nothing.
It's a 12 o'clock game, man. You know, unfortunately, I have to be there.
YouTube on Sunday morning because I get up early. There. And I'm a Niners
fan. Man, I don't even know. If I'm a, like last week, I think I left when Tyreek Stevens got beat for that touchdown. That's when I was getting ready to walk.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
I was getting ready to walk out of the stadium.
That's when I turned the channel. I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah,
but, that's it. I knew it was it. That's when I turned Alabama, Florida. I was like, let's watch a game.
And a lot of people turned and they saw on the ticker. They're like, what? We lost by 21.
Yeah,
like,
am I right? Yeah,
right.
That's exactly what I did. I said, what?
Hey, but listen. So as I'm walking out the stadium, by the time I get back to my car, I just hear the stadium going, oh, so I'm like,
did we do something good?
Yeah, I'm like, hold on, did we do something or did they do something?
And
then I look at my phone like, dang, they did something.
X, I heard there was almost more Michigan State fans than Miami fans in the stadium.
No, that wasn't true.
Dude. All right. I saw that on TV. We represented pretty well for a good while until we started getting our ass beat and everybody went home.
Man, everybody went back to the parking lot. Look, one thing about Miami UM games, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Parking lot popping, baby.
They go party in the parking lot.
We here. Hey,
we getting beat. They go party in the parking lot. Hey, we losing.
Liquor and ladies, bro. Why would I bail? It's liquor and ladies out there.
Man, the parking lot will always end. You know, we like the only, I think we might be the only college team that allows parking inside the stadium.
I saw a chart the other day. It said Miami was number one. They had a chart like 1 through 30 of best stadiums to park at for games. They had Miami at number one.
Yeah, because I think Miami's the only college team that allows you to park in the stadium.
Is it because we're using a Dolphin stadium?
Yeah.
I mean,
we did that at the Orange Bowl.
I mean, we did that. We parked in the Orange Bowl too. So, like,
The one fan friendly.
I think the thing that they love is the fact that the alcohol keeps going.
Yeah.
And they not stopping. You're like, well, I'm getting drunk. Yeah. I'm gonna get drunk right away.
Parking lot inside the game, getting drunk.
And
I tell people all the time, let me tell you something about Canes fans. Might lose the game. We ain't gonna lose the fight. Keep it moving.
Never.
Keep it moving.
Wait, they don't cut off liquor sales at the Miami game?
It's in the third quarter.
Yeah. Okay.
In the third. Yeah.
I mean, but by that time, you need liquor.
Right.
You saying, let me go back to the car. I got something in the car.
I got it in the trunk. That's real. Hey, man, thank y'all for kicking it with us, man. We appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll be back again next Friday. Dropping early for you guys.
We're going to have to do Remember, next we play next week Thursday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we'll drop early for y'all. Actually, I tell you what, we'll drop early Thursday morning. We'll have a Thursday morning show for you guys.
Yeah, we play that game Thursday.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We play Virginia, a good team. So
yeah, on the road, on the road.
God bless.
Nah, we play home. We at home.
Oh, it's at home? It won't matter. It don't matter.
Oh yeah, Virginia's that one team where they come twice.
Yep, okay. Yep. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. This is 26 Degrees. We love y'all, man. We'll holler at y'all next time. Peace.
We're
going to let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.